Good morning. I know you all just sat down, but I'm going to ask you to stand again. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 5, the first 16 verses. Okay. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we ask that by your Spirit it would go down deep into our heart, Lord, so that it would do the work that you intended it to do. Father, that we would be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Matthew chapter 5. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Since I've been attending Judy's Israel class, that going up on the mountain means a whole lot more to me. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. While we know this portion of Scripture to be called the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus gave this teaching, he was using a standard literary form that was very familiar to the Jewish people. The word blessed could be translated also to mean fortunate, happy, or it will be well with. Now, a typical Jewish form would be something like this. It will go well with the one who, blank, for that one shall receive blank. And you can fill in the blanks. For instance, it will go well with the one who tends his garden, for that one shall receive many vegetables. It could be anything. So when Jesus began to teach, this was something that people would have been able to hear and understand. When I was a child, I memorized the Beatitudes and thought they were a nice little group of things, you know, items, characteristics. But I saw them as being not terribly important other than maybe something you could focus on if you wanted to earn extra brownie points with God. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll be a peacemaker. That's, you know, I can do that maybe. But anyway, that's not what they are. But before we get into the Beatitudes, I want to talk about heroes, and specifically superheroes. And so now I'm going to give you a brief quiz to see how much you know about superheroes of our culture. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you know the answer, go ahead and shout out. Okay. Which hero was bit by a radioactive spider?
Spider-Man.
Which hero protects Gotham City?
Spider-Man.
Now they're going to get harder. Which hero is faster than a speeding bullet?
Spider-Man.
Which hero makes the sign of the Z? Which hero uses silver bullets? Lone Ranger. Okay. It's getting harder. Which hero killed the dragon? St. George. Yeah, St. George. Which hero had the strength of 10 because his heart was pure? The Grinch. Oh, you all fail. That's Sir Galahad. Okay. All right. Which hero lived in Sherwood Forest? Okay. All right. Now, if you or I could leap a tall building in single bound, if we could trap criminals with a web that we had spun ourselves, if we could slay dragons, then we might get our picture in the Clinton Chronicle on the front page. We might win the hand of a princess. Or we might be given the key to the city by the mayor. Unfortunately, we can only dream of being superheroes. We just don't have those superpowers. But there was another hero. Which hero gave up his throne to become a commoner and then gave up his life to save his friends, dying as a criminal?
Jesus.
Right, right. We remember the superheroes for what they did or what they do, but we remember Jesus for who he is. The world has standards for superheroes, but God has standards also, and they're not the same standards that the world has. And that's where we get back to the Beatitudes. So let's look more closely at them, because they are the standards that God has for kingdom life, for all of his disciples, for all Jesus followers. So, starting with verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are those who know that they are sinners, who feel their need for salvation, and are convinced of their guilt and their helplessness to save themselves. And for them, there is the kingdom. See, here is the place where salvation begins, where we enter into God's kingdom, totally dependent upon him for the grace to save us. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. The mourners are those who are brokenhearted for their sins or the sins of others, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. The meek are the humble ones who acknowledge God's right to rule in their lives personally as well as in the world. They are those who do not demand their own rights, but accept from God's hand their life as a gracious gift. And for them, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. These people are those whose great desire is to please God, to grow up into Christ, to be led by his Spirit. Their passion is for the things of God rather than the things of the world. And they shall be filled. Can you see a pattern developing here? This is the Christian's walk in the kingdom. This is what we call the process of sanctification. It's not over when you take that first step in acknowledging your sinfulness and you surrender your life to Jesus. That's just the beginning. Jesus, when he taught the Beatitudes, was teaching a whole kingdom walk. He taught the whole thing right at the beginning. And then he went on and taught it again and again, because people don't get it. Okay. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, the tender-hearted ones, those who love all mankind as well as they love themselves, not just those who are our friends, not just those who are like us, but the old, the poor, the disenfranchised, the addict, the homeless, those icky guys that we don't want anything to do with. It is these people who, seeing a neighbor in need, will not walk by on the other side of the road, averting their eyes so they can pretend that they don't see them. And for these people, they shall obtain mercy. And so the Beatitudes go on, describing the blessings awaiting the peacemakers, the pure in heart, and those who are persecuted for doing the right thing. All of it is that walk. But we want to pause and go back to verse 7 and look at it a little more carefully. Because in the same way and to the same degree that we desire mercy from God, we are to show mercy to our fellow men. And for that reason, we have ministries like Operation Inasmuch. This is why we support children in Haiti. This is why we help to rebuild the school at La Hotte. This is why we have a food bank and all the other ministries of the BLT and the cluster. While there is a specific gift of the Holy Spirit for mercies, not just those people who have received that gift are responsible for showing mercy. Showing mercy is not an optional step in the process of sanctification. In fact, none of the steps are optional. And if we stall out at any of those steps, we halt the process of our growth, and then we tend to wonder why we are not growing in our faith. Well, let's skip on down to verse 16, because this is the key to this particular verse. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to let our light shine. Our good works are not for our own gratification or to make us heroes, although in God's eyes, we are heroes. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that we get the key to the city, the princess, or our picture on the front page of the newspaper. Our good works are to be observed by others, Jesus followers and non-followers alike, so that they also may be moved to love, to serve, and to glorify God. The Beatitudes embody the process of sanctification in 10 steps, but not easy steps. We cannot lead ourselves in the process of sanctification. That is the prerogative of the Holy Spirit. But sanctification is not a passive process. We must be actively involved in our walk as disciples. And so let us pray that we will have the grace to go on, to grow up into the full stature of Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and most of all, our example. Thank you.
Herb asked if I would share. He asked if I would share a little bit about Bethany Summer Youth Camp from a biblical perspective. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Many of you, most of you, have been involved at summer camp in one way or another. But let's take a look at this. And as I thought about it, I thought, okay, what is Bethany Summer Youth Camp? For me, I look at that and I say, okay, I feel like it's an intense week-long retreat from the world and all the worldly things that we have to do or get involved with and take our time, and whether it's job, whether it's TV, video games, play, friends, relationships, all those things, work, some of them we have no choice, we have to do. Some of those things that just simply take up our time. But summer camp is an intense, week-long, intentional retreat from all of those things to focus upon God, His Word, His wonder, His work. There's a verse in Matthew 25:34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" A week-long summer camp, we're involved in many, if not all of those, in one way or another. We come together to enjoy wholesome fellowship and learn how to better relate to one another as members of the body of Christ. We come together to grow spiritually through fellowship, service, with a big emphasis on the service, activities, and the nurture of God's Word. We come together to learn how to share our faith through creative ministries such as music, puppets, drama, mime. And we come together to become more wholehearted disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. An awesome opportunity to just kind of lay all the cares of our lives, all the things that kind of get in our way, and focus totally on God and His work, His wonder, and who He is, and what He has for us to do. I don't think this year is going to be any different. I think that I expect completely that we'll have every opportunity to experience God in each of these different ways. Whether it's being involved in a food pantry, whether it's being involved going out to Joanna, to the Christ Central, to working in the place out there. Last year we did some work and organized and cleaned up a room for a clothing room for the community to come out. Whether it's going out to AMI Kids, which in a sense is a prison, ministering to them, or whether it's replacing a roof on a widow's home and coming along somebody that just needs some help. I thought about it, and I'm on Facebook, and I've got some young folk that have friended me on Facebook that have come to camp over the years. And I thought, well, I'm just going to kind of throw something out there and see what comes back. And I thought, I'm just going to leave it kind of general. And I asked the question to three past campers who are now in their early to late 20s. So it's been 8 to 12 years since they've been involved in camp at all. It's amazing. Time flies when you're... But I asked a simple question. I said, when you think of Bethany Summer Youth Camp, what comes to mind? First one, all three of them responded within a day and a half. First one, young lady that's probably late 20s, graduated from college, married. Husband, I think, is in the ministry. I'm not sure exactly, but I know they're very involved in different ministries. She responded, she said, "Me personally, learning to roof a house," smiley face, quite possibly one of my biggest accomplishments in life. Now, here you've got a young person that's graduated from college and everything else. Biggest accomplishment in life, learn to roof a house. I also think of learning to serve. There is always a real emphasis of serving the community, and I love that. Oh, and I still occasionally have nightmares about the rope climb on the obstacle course, but I think that's just me. We try not to traumatize the young people too much, but that's also a lesson in learning how to overcome your fears, right? The second one was from a young man that graduated from college. He's married, has his own child now, and he's a police officer. He says, "Mark, there's a lot of great things that come to mind. I can remember it being my favorite thing to do in the summertime and how much I look forward to that one week in the summer. I can still visualize setting up my camp and finding out which colored team I was on, the competitive side of me. I remember doing the Bible verse obstacle course before breakfast and how eager I was to be the fastest team. I remember the team rides to our work sites and how much fun we had actually working, which is something you don't see in a lot of kids that age. I know how to roof my own house thanks to the knowledge and experience I got at those work sites. We've done a lot of roofs over the years. I also love the skits we perform and the adults that help mold us into little minds, LOL. There's a lot of great memories, and I took away from the Bethany Summer Camp, and those are only a few. This particular young man, I believe, and I know he was from the Lydia Mill community, he was on a work team doing a roof. If I remember correctly, there was a neighbor that asked Herb or somebody, where did these young people come from? Surely they can't be from our community because all those kids are inside playing video games and causing trouble somewhere or whatever. I said, well, there are some young people from your community up there on this roof. Not only that, there was a professional team roofing a few houses down that when it got hot in the middle of the afternoon, they left, took the rest of the day off. Our kids kept going and finished that roof in a week. This is also the young man that I believe said, you know, I can't believe we paid good money to come to this camp. Herb's mentioned that several times. But by the end of the week, just as so many other young people say, you know, can we do it again? Can we do it for one more week? The third young lady, I believe she's in her early 20s as well. And I didn't know this about her, but very touching story. She said, I remember a couple things. First, I'll always remember the Avalon song, New Day, is the first thing that woke me up when I came to camp. Second, I remember the drama team and all the amazing stuff we did and learned and people we talked to and the friends made on that team. Third, and probably the one I tell people most often, I always remember the night I first heard Grace Like Rain. It was the summer after my sophomore year of high school. It had been a rough couple of years leading up to that summer, and I had stopped going to church unless I couldn't avoid it. I hated that I went to a Christian school because I was constantly reminded of the church and how awful they had been to my family. And I hated them and I hated the church. Bethany Summer Youth Camp was pretty much the only church-related anything I voluntarily went to for about 3 years. I always loved Bethany Summer Camp because I saw it as pure and the people weren't out to hurt me. Pastor Coddington was genuine, and so were the people there at camp. So that summer, as always, I was excited to go back to camp and be with the people I trusted and loved dearly. On the first full night we were there, we sang Grace Like Rain. I had never heard that song before, and it didn't click until later that week that the verses were the same from Amazing Grace, but that's okay. That night, the chorus got stuck in my head. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains are washed away. Well, just like anything having to do with my family and special occasions, it was raining. In fact, that night it was pouring. That year, I think my tent got flooded like 3 times. It rained so much. I was in my tent alone. How that happened, I have no clue. And just laying there listening to the rain fall on my tent. And it hit me how much God's grace really does fall like rain. It falls abundantly over all of us. Grace floods our stuff, even when we don't necessarily want it because we're so stuck in our ways. And we can't see how water would be a good thing. That night I realized how much grace the Lord really has bestowed upon me and the rest of the church, His bride. He showed me that we all mess up and we all hurt others, but that's the beauty of it. If we didn't, how else could He shower us with His grace? I realized that night just how much I needed His grace and how much more important that was than me not wanting to be in a place where people are hurtful and mess up. I had to realize that He loves bestowing His grace upon all of His beloved children. That night I didn't sleep at all and cried most of the night with this wonderful realization. And the next morning I was totally useless on the OC, but it was completely worth it because I learned the beauty of grace. She's gone on different ministries, and I talked to her one time. She Facebooked me and said that she took a lot of the drama things that she learned at camp and taught them in Venezuela when she was over there in missions. So camp has a far-reaching effect in a lot of different ways. When I look and ask myself, why do I do camp? There's a verse that comes in 1 Corinthians 3:10. It says, "But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, this work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." For me, I look back on my life. The one thing that I feel so very fortunate to be a part of, God has allowed me to be a part of Bethany Summer Youth Camp. The one thing that, when it goes through the fire, I think will last. And all the things that go along with it, as we together reach out and minister in God's name. Thank you. I hope you all come and join us for camp and be a part of something that lasts forever.
Okay, I am here to speak for and about those who remember the Lone Ranger and Zorro, but especially Jesus. I am one that has been directed to by Herb Covington, the Older Adult Ministries. And so I try to help organize some things for those folks to do, and we have lots of fun with that. Don't know a lot of you. This is a much younger crowd than was here when I was here last. So want to give you what Ecclesiastes says is a description of aging, the aging process. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and the desire no longer is stirred, when man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets." Now that sounds kind of gloomy, doesn't it? Well, our older adult group is not gloomy at all. We have a good time in things that we do. I wanted to give you some other pictures of older adults. Older adults are to be honored. Proverbs says that gray hair is to be deemed a mark of honor. Experience yields wisdom, says Job. Honoring God and honoring older adults is linked, we are told, in Leviticus. And we, as older adults, are instructed to be parent figures, to exhibit godly life, and to be fruitful, even in late in life. And to talk about some problems that we might have as older adults. A lot of older adults are lonely. Loneliness sets in when you're separated from your peers and your children are away from home. Physical difficulties are things that particularly are hurtful to older adults. And fear sometimes is a thing that we have problems with. To give you a few facts about the age wave, the older adult, senior adult population is growing at a rate of 3 times faster than the rest of the American population. 2/3 of all the people who have ever lived to age 65 or older are alive today. In 1986, for the first time in American history, there were more people over age 65 than under age 18. Growth rates in senior adults age 65 and over in 1900 was 4% of the population. In 1993, 12%. In 1913, 17%. So the aging population is growing more and more all the time. So older population needs to be considered. We are still valuable. We still have purpose. And we still have fun. The Lydian Presbyterian churches used to have a get-up-and-go club, is what they call it. Ours still doesn't have a name. So if any of you have a name that you think you could give us, we would gladly take something that would kind of be shorter than the Older Adult Ministry of the Greater Lawrence County, whatever. I mean, it just goes on, you know, and we can't remember all that stuff. So we need a shorter name. So if y'all can think of something for us, we'd gladly appreciate it. The Get Up and Go Club used to do a hot dog sale to make money for their activities. They would go on like a monthly outing. We try to do something once a month, but it's not always an outing for fun. And we have done some things like Bible studies. What we do for fundraisers now is a yard sale. We did one in November at the Todd Church, but there wasn't a lot of traffic going through there on that particular day. So we're going to try it again in 96 on May the 7th. 96 has a community yard sale, and the whole town is set up for a yard sale. So we'll have a lot of traffic through there. And if any of you want to do your spring cleaning, get some stuff together. We're taking everything but clothing. Okay? So, and also we're going to have a bake sale. And if you would like to prepare some baked goods, we have some seniors that are still capable of doing things like this, but some are not. So if you would like to prepare some baked goods for us and put them in Ziploc bags, or if you do a cake, it needs to be wrapped. We can't do anything that has to be cut there on the property. You have to have it prepared ahead of time. All right. And the money that we make for these from the yard sale and the bake sale will be used for our two mission projects. We have, when we were out having fun and doing all these things to go eat and one thing or another, Miss Sadie Goldsmith said one day, what are we doing for mission projects? And I said, Sadie, I don't know. We hadn't really thought about a mission project, something ongoing. So we... Herb gave us some information about the DSN board, Disability and Special Need Board, needing some folks to help with their community residences that are all over Lawrence County. And they were asking folks to adopt some community residences. So we have adopted for our local missions two community residences. One in Joanna on Lawrence Street houses 4 men, and they are ambulatory. And then there's another one called Clinton Manor out off of Charlotte's Road, and they house 8 men, And they, a lot of those are physically handicapped also. So what we're trying to do for them, the suggestions were to send them birthday cards, Christmas cards, Easter cards, any type of holiday, and then do a Christmas gift for each person and sponsor a Christmas party, which we did for the first time this last year. And we only had one of those houses, and it was a smaller house to come. And at that Christmas party, we had we decided we would just have some foods to serve, and we would have Santa to come and give out gifts to them. They were all excited about that. And then we decided we'd sing some Christmas carols. Well, this one guy in particular loves to sing, and they kept saying, "Oh, he sings so well, you should have him to sing with you." And he said, no, I won't sing. I don't want to sing. We sang one Christmas carol, and then he got started. And it went on and on and on. We thought we could never get him to sit down, but it was a lot of fun. And so they love music, just like I was telling the Todd Church earlier today, they love hymn sings. And so we're asking churches to sponsor a hymn sing for them and maybe have some light refreshments afterwards. And that's just a fun time for them, just to get away from their normal activities in their homes. They go to Evergreen Skills, and work during the day. So something through the week is something out of the question for them, because it's a long day by the time they go there and come home and have to get baths and eat and get ready for bed and then go to work the next day just like anybody else does. And so weekends is about the only time we can do something. So if you would like to sponsor a hymn sing or an activity for them, please be sure to let me know so that we can make some arrangements, because we are trying to do more than one or two things a year for them to get them out of their regular activities. And then for our international mission, we did adopt the Lahat School and decide to sponsor them. So what we will do with our funding from the bake sale and the yard sale is to take some money out to do the local missions. Everything else will go to the Lahat School. So we would appreciate anything that any of you could do for that. Other things that we do, we do take trips like every month or so. We try to go somewhere because folks like to get out. They love to go eat. We like to go to Sheely's. And anybody, you qualify if you are 50 or above. So if any of you would like to go, we'd love to have you come and go with us sometime. One thing in particular that the adults have enjoyed is going to the Billy Graham Training Center up next to Asheville. And there they prepare a meal for you. It's a very nice meal in the middle of the day. And someone from the training center comes in and leads music. And we sing old hymns. And they show clips of some of the crusades and give you some history of the property there and the things that go on there. And it was just a fun day. We don't do anything usually that takes a lot of physical activity because our folks get tired real easy. And shared with you the Beatitudes. Well, this week, one of my customers, who is a senior, came in and brought a Beatitude for seniors. So I thought this might be appropriate for today also. Blessed are they who understand my faltering step and shaking hand. Blessed who know my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know my eyes are dim and my mind is slow. Blessed are they who looked away, I spilled my tea on the cloth that day. Blessed are they who, with cheery smiles, stopped to chat for a little while. Blessed are they who know the way to bring back memories of yesterday. Blessed are they who never say, you've told me that story twice today. Blessed are they who make it known that I'm loved, respected, and not alone. And blessed are they who will ease the days of my journey home in loving ways. Back to the scripture. I found a couple of scriptures that I think really particularly pertain to our group of seniors, and they're both in Philippians. So I'd like to read those to you as I close today. In Philippians 1:3-6, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Thank you for having us come today. We've enjoyed it.